everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Geek Studios podcast. First thing I want to say is for all of our geeks that are listening, it is still today. So happy Pi Day.
It is still today. Happy Pi Day. Today happy is Pi Day.
So happy Pi Day, everybody. So that is for all our nerds out there. Shout out to all you. We love you guys and girls.
And people.
And people. Everybody's included. Furries, you're going to have to wait a little bit. We're still not there with you guys, but. But yeah, so we got your three typical people here at the podcast. We got myself, we got Spider Cheekies, and we got State Alchemist Mando, the Pirate King, who's also a S-rank wizard of fairy tale.
Yo, yo, what it do?
Which, for short, we just call him Little Usher.
Yeah.
Which we have not called you in a while. Or a throwback to my boy, Bert the Hurt Roberts.
Oh, Bert the Hurt.
Bert the Hurt.
Yeah. That's a real throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you know. go listen to a few episodes back and you'll understand the joke. But yeah, we got a few things we want to discuss today. But first, before we get started with that, it's always time for the recommendations, which I think I'm going to have a little banner and music coming out, like, you know, like I'm gonna have a mic sing or something, like recommendations or something, right? But yeah, so what is one thing you're watching, reading, playing that you would recommend for the people that are listening to this podcast? We'll start off with the State Alchemist.
Absolutely. All right. So one thing that I'm watching that I would definitely recommend would be Frieren. So far, it's still in this first season. And I want to say we are at 123 episodes as of this particular podcast. And I would say the story is phenomenal. The artwork, it takes you back into the time of, it's like D&D. You got a party, you're an adventurer. However, in this particular story, we always know elves have long lives, and the elf is our main character, and we are following her through her life, and we see that she, in her younger years, she learned magic, she became really good, and she ended up being in the party of the hero who killed the Demon King, and this story takes place about 50 years after that, when everybody from pretty much in her party has passed away. She's continuing to live. She's starting to teach, and it is a really great show.
It's crazy because at first when I was watching it, I was like, all right, it is more slow paced than other anime shows.
Very slow paced. Like, it's for the first time I was watching, I'm like, is this a slice of life?
It feels like, yeah.
Like, it was very slow paced, very slice of life, like very into the story and building the story. However, when the action hit,
the story is amazing, though.
Yes, like she is top of her class, and it just hits. Like, they take the Arthur. they take their time into the story. They make sure that they are detailed about everything. They don't leave loose ends. A lot of this is saying, and it's still ongoing. However, I have loved the world building, the character development. We seen Frieren, who is our main character, who is our elf. We first introduced her. You don't really like. She's this all powerful mage, but you wouldn't know that this all powerful mage loves exploring dungeons. And she goes, which I love the fact that she did. you have to clear every level first, because this is how I play games. Mm-hmm. You have a pattern. You map it out. You always go left. You keep following. You map out the furrow, and then you go through. You find all the treasure. You beat the dungeon. And you go level by level. And you don't do it because you're trying to conquer. You do it because you're having fun and you enjoy it. And one of her quirks is the fact that no matter what, she always has to open a treasure chest. So she always
mimics.
Yes. Even though she's powerful enough to know that it's a mimic, she's still curious enough to know, like, you know what? Yes, it's a mimic. However, the mimic can still hold treasure. They can still have treasure inside them. So she still wants to look. And she has, on multiple occasions, been eaten by a mimic. And it is absolutely wonderful. Which, just like, just to say a bit, in the latest episodes, in the attempt to become a first mage or new ranking for this current government on judging power base, in this competition or challenge, she had to fight herself, a clone of herself, and I just knew that she's gonna use a mimic to beat herself. Like, you can tell me, like, she wasn't gonna use it. Like, oh, what's your weaknesses? Well, I really don't have any weaknesses. Which she's very much able to go up against Psychosis from Saitama. She could Blizzard. I would love to see her go up against a death match with anybody from One Punch Man, except for, of course, Saitama.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, obviously without Saitama, right? But yeah. No, I'm not gonna lie, she's really powerful, and again, story amazing, art amazing, the character development, they take their time. You get to know the characters, you get to know their feelings, their weaknesses, you know, their backgrounds, everything in such a short period of time, and you care about the characters as well, right?
Absolutely.
So again, amazing anime.
It really makes you feel the shortness of life. Like, life is important, but it's also short. And sometimes the pacing goes quickly, and then they can slow it down to expand on this moment. And you realize that, like, she's been journeying around the world with this kid who she trained as a kid. It was a fucking little baby. And now, I think in one of the later episodes, we just learned that I think she's like 30 right now.
Yeah. The one with the purple hair?
Yes.
I forgot her name. That's why I was just like, I just don't.
Honestly, and I knew you, and I wanted to say it, but then I was like, oh, wait, what is her name? Frieren. It's not. Frieren is
the elf. The elf, yes.
Fern,
okay.
Fern. But yeah, that is my recommendation. Freeman Beyond the End.
Okay. Spider Chickies, what is your recommendation for this week?
I don't have one.
Well, what have you been watching on Netflix that you're like, you know what, I would recommend for people to watch this?
The only thing I've probably been watching on Netflix right now that I've been binge watching is Blacklist, which is a show about FBI agents using this criminal, like, mastermind, basically, where he makes, like, a blacklist of, like, other criminal masterminds that the FBI have never heard of before to stop, like, the government from being, like, exposed, people, like, dying and all that stuff. And it's very interesting because there's a lot of plot twists and a lot of things that I wouldn't have expected. Now, I'm not gonna say everything, right? But, like, there's the main character. She has a connection to the criminal. And when she finds out, I mean, obviously, when you're connected to a criminal, you don't want to be associated with them anymore. But they try to find ways to make it work because the criminal will only talk to her and not to any of the other FBI agents. So everybody's trying to make her, like, stay, basically.
Which, I gotta say, I'm very disappointed with the Weeb. because I passed by and I was like, oh, you're watching Robert California. She's like, I don't understand it. I'm like, Robert California. I don't know what you mean. I was like, as a huge The Office fan that you are, you should know that the main character from Blacklist is the same character that played or the same actor that played Robert California in The Office. Except he's bald. That's the only difference. He's bald and doesn't wear his glasses. Doesn't wear glasses most of the time.
That's why I didn't recognize him, because he's bald and doesn't wear his glasses. But
even Robert California didn't wear glasses that much. It was only every once in a while that he would have glasses. But he would take them off a lot.
But the main character wears a fedora most of the time.
I was just like, bro, I literally pointed at like Robert California. She's like, what? I'm like, Robert California. And she's like, huh? I went up to the screen and I pointed at him, Robert California. And she was like, I don't understand. I was like, oh my God. So I had to explain it to her. But for me, so one of the shows that I've really enjoyed, and I was a huge fan of this show, and I was waiting for, you know, the season 3 to drop. So once it dropped, I unfortunately was not able to watch it right away. So now I'm barely watching it. And again, huge fan of the show is Classroom of the Elite. I love the manipulation. I love the whole, like, I'm going to outsmart you. I'm going to do this. It's just so fucking amazing, right? Like, so I love that stuff.
I wish I could show you my screen, because I was going to jump in and say, if she didn't have anything, I was gonna be like, I can recommend something else. And that's literally what I have.
Right here. You see that?
Yes, I love it. Yeah. It's a mind game, and I love a good show with plot twists, mind games, and things that you can't see coming or predict. Because a lot of things in the world have become so predictable. So for a show to be able to still have its wow factor, in the sense of, you know the situation, you know what the outcome needs to be, but how do we get there?
Right. And right. Most of the times it's like, all right, I know he did something. I know he planned something. And then you see how it's going. You're like, damn, what is he going to do? And he planned the whole thing out, right? It's like from A to Z, it's all planned out. So it's that just going to his plan. I was like, oh my God. And like, it's just, I really enjoy the show, right? Like I really got into it. Like one day when I was watching, I binge watched season 1. As soon as season 2 came, I binge watched it. I was planning on doing the same thing for the third one once all the episodes dropped, right? It's just, I haven't had a chance. So now I'm watching them. And I am super excited. I love where it's going. I cannot wait to see what Aliana Koji has up his sleeve. Sometimes I butcher his name sometimes. Aliana Koji. There you go. I know it's Koji. Okay, there you go. Aliana Koji.
So
he's so fucking cool and so fucking hard with, like, he's like, I don't care, man, you know, whatever attitude. But bro, he is just the man, bro. He's the man.
So actually, you know what? I'm not even gonna talk about this right now. But yes, I fully agree. I enjoy so much about Classroom of the Elite. And if you like Classroom of the Elite, Tamagotchi Games,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So good.
Yes. And remember, we did bring up Tamagotchi Game a while back. Once again, go back all the way and start listening to these episodes.
We've talked about both of these, Classroom of the Elite, and because you stumbled over his name.
Yes. Yep. Oh.
Yeah.
I am very, it is very known that I butcher people's names. So it happens a lot. But all right. So now moving on to our next topics. So for one of them, so the Oscars were just recently. What was it, like over the weekend?
Yes.
And what's it called? So one of those things like I wanted to bring up is, so you know how like for every Godzilla movie when we have, you're like, the visual effects are sometimes not up to par, they're not so good, you know, you're like, yeah, visual effects are like decent, you know, whatever. I kept talking about how good did I think that Godzilla Minus One was going to be, but the fact that they won the Oscars for best visual effects is insane. That just shows you like how much work they put, and they had a way smaller budget than the American ones, right? Than the American Godzilla movies. It's just they put all their heart and dedication into this movie, and it definitely shows in, like, it shows when you watch the movie. It shows in like how he's designed, how everything is designed around it. Like in like, obviously we know it's visual effects and it's you know, it's computer work and everything, but it's just, it's so fucking clean, bro. It's just amazing, right? And then the fact that all of them were wearing like shoes that had like a heel or something, like the guys wearing like boots that had like a little heel, and the heel had like Godzilla's handprint, where it's like it was just kind of like that holding the shoe, bro. That is cold. I was like, all right. At first, I was like, bro, would I ever wear like shoes with a heel? I'm like, nah. But then when I saw those boots, I was like, I wear those. I rock those. I'm not gonna lie. And,
there's a difference between a heel and a platform. And like, you got shoes that lift you up, like male shoes. They give you a little inch or two. They just, you know, give you a little platform lift.
Oh, hell no, bro. I'll go from short king to tall king real quick with those shoes.
You are a stiletto?
Hell, bro, I'm going to be a tall king, bro. What are you talking about? I'm going to be like 6 feet and up. What's up, you know? But, no, like, I even liked it when they went up to accept the awards. They had a little gold Godzilla. I thought that was the coolest shit, right? I was like, yo, I need that. I definitely need that. Like, but yeah, so that was one of the highlighted moments. Obviously, Robert Downey Jr. Getting his I believe it's his first Oscar. That is pretty big, right? For best supporting actor for Oppenheimer. Like, again, amazing. Oppenheimer, clean house. Like, Oppenheimer, definitely clean house. And
best picture, best actor, best director.
Bro, they
best photography, best film editing, best original score. Like, Oppenheimer, clean. And you know what's crazy? I still haven't even seen it.
Me either. I
went to watch it the day it came out, right? And it is really good. It is really, really good. Like, obviously, it is long, so be ready to sit there for a while. It is not action-based, where it's like, you know how like a lot of people are like, oh, it's long, I'm going to fall asleep because all of this is talking. But it's suspenseful, right? It's like there's so much suspense in the movie. There's so much everything. And, there, you know, it's just... It always kept me intrigued, and honestly, I did not feel the length of that movie where it's like, oh, how long have I been sitting here? You know, like I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie, amazing movie. So honestly, I think everybody saw them sweeping, like everybody saw them sweeping across the board. You know, like they became Jujutsu Kaisen. We all knew it was gonna happen. So, another one that I guess was a little—I'm not gonna say controversial to us anime fans. I want to say we would not consider controversial, partially. But I know all over social media, and like I've seen it on TikTok, I've seen it on Instagram, and a few other places. Where they're saying that so the Boy and the Heron won best animated film. It beat out Spider-Man across across the universe, right? Or is it beyond?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Having somebody call Spider-Chickies and not know is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
the universe.
Now that you said that, I was like, oh.
Yeah, first one, you guys are like, oh, yeah. I'm like, is it Across or Beyond? But
Beyond, I think, is the next one in the installation.
It might be.
That's why. Yeah. When you said it, I'm like, wait, no, that sounds right. Because it is right. It's right. So it goes, it's across the universe.
Was it into?
Yes.
So it was into the first one, right?
Right. That is correct.
Then across is the second one, and beyond is the third one.
Yes.
Okay. If it's wrong, you guys know who said yes, you know, but
we all said it. If it's wrong, we all said it.
Now, so first of all, what are your thoughts? Do you guys think that Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse should have won over the Boy and the Heron?
I honestly feel like I need to see both of them. So I have not seen The Boy and the Heron yet. Okay. But I do know it was the last Studio Ghibli. Like, yes. Studio Ghibli made this. They produced by Studio Ghibli. I don't know if it was they came out of retirement or they opened their offices. However, I know the work effort and the powerfulness that Studio Ghibli has. However, with that being said, I still have to say it probably won because of popularity. Because while Marvel and Superman are still, like, it's growing and becoming more popular, everybody's still not into it. And I feel like it's the same thing with Crunchyroll. These awards are oftentimes for what is the most popular, not necessarily what is the best. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I will say, without even seeing this Studio Ghibli movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse probably wasn't better than this.
I'll say this. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was fucking fantastic. To me, that movie was a 10 out of 10, right? Or 6 out of 6. 6 out of 6 for sure, right? It left you in a good suspenseful point. You were like, ooh, I'm excited to watch the next one.
Here's my comeback to that. It did all that for you because you are a fan of the culture. For somebody who is brand new to Spider-Man, you left me on a cliffhanger. You left me like, I think Boy and the Heron is a completed story, for one. Like, you don't have to know anything before it to come in, even though same thing with Spider-Man Across the World. You don't necessarily have to know anything before it because it does a good job of retelling you the story and bringing you in. However, it doesn't give you a closure. It doesn't give you a solution. It builds you up and gets you anticipated for the next one. However, I can guarantee you the character development and the artwork and the story that is behind The Boy and the Heron with closure is gonna, like, movie to movie, is gonna probably beat it. However, when we get this complete Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse series, when we can complete this trilogy or however movie's gonna come out, I don't think the trilogy. Well, Boy and the Heron can hold a candle to the trilogy because we had so much time to develop the character across three different movies and the lore and the plot lines and all of this. But for the individual movie to create one-to-one, Studio Ghibli is always, the way they tell stories are always gonna, it's top tier. I'm not gonna say I always beat out, but the way the Studio Ghibli produces these movies to tell these stories and the animation that goes along with it. As a grown man, you'll be crying and don't even know why you're crying.
Absolutely. I remember the very first movie that I watched with Studio Ghibli, and I didn't know it was Studio Ghibli. It was just like, oh, what is this movie? You know, it was Totoro. And I was like, what the hell is going on? At first, because I was like, I don't understand what's going on because I've never seen anything like it, right? But I was so into it and I was such a fan of the movie that I was like, okay, I don't understand what creatures are doing in this world, and you know who they are, and
you don't even understand the world or what's happening. Bro,
I don't, but it just made sense. Like, if somebody were to ask me, but why are they? I'd be like, because they've always been there. That would have been my answer. But
I feel that, so it's, speaking about this, Howl's Moving Castle. Howl's Moving Castle is like the war and everything that's going on around in the background that's helping to drive the story. You have no idea, like, what the fuck is happening, or why is this happening, or what's going on. Like, you're getting chased. All we know is there's a war, and this happening. But, like, you still, like, you accept it and appreciate, like, you still just appreciate the movie for what it is. Like, the love that is created, the story, the character development, and
yeah. Bro, I'm telling you, Miyazaki came out with, he like put on the jersey. He's like, all right, watch me pull a Jordan. Because, so for those that don't know, right, well, you know what Studio Ghibli is, or, you know, like, if, I don't know where you've been, but go go watch Spirit Away, right? Go watch, you know, My Neighbor Totoro. Obviously, go watch The Boy and Heron, Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke, Castle in the Sky, Kiki's Delivery Service, even Ponyo, right? And obviously, the list could go on, but like, just those alone, I feel like those were like the heavy hitters. And
yeah,
it's like, watch those movies and you'll be like, oh shit, this is peak storytelling, amazing animation, great character development, right? So honestly, like, I have not seen The Boy and Heron. I was gonna watch it, and the crazy part is the amount of publicity they put out, which was very little, is insane of how well it did in the box office. Because it's like, all right, it's Studio Ghibli. You already have the director coming back. What more do you need to market, you know, for the movie? And the cast is amazing. Look, so I was telling Chiggy's, I'm like, you know how there's movies where people tell you, like, hey, you need to watch the movie in, like, it's you know, it's a Japanese movie. Yeah. Watch in Japanese with the subtitles. But Studio Ghibli movies are like, no, you can go watch in English, you know, like, because the cast was insane. Hold on, let me pull out the cast, because it is just fucking amazing. You got Robert Pattinson, you got Christian Bale, right? You had Florence Pugh, you had Mark Hamill, you had Dave Bautista, you had Karen Bakura, like, you had Tony Revolori, like, you had Jeff Goldblum, like,
you this got Woody cast,
yeah, like, this cast is just fucking insane. It's like,
and these are all the American names. We're not even going to speak to the Japanese, who they brought, and like, it was a powerful. It's a powerful lineup. Like, it star studded. For it to only win best animation is crazy. But then again, you know,
it's hard for animated movies to get casted or get nominations in other roles besides, for example, best song, which shout out to my boy Jack Black for being nominated with Peaches. hey, I was hoping it would win. I was like, all right, let's see if it wins. And in the end, I'm just Ken won.
Well, that was very, very popular on TikTok, so it didn't surprise me.
It was popular, but everybody was expecting for it for, what's it called? Billie Eilish to win. So, like, that was who was, so, like, the front runner. And then when I'm Just Ken won, like, it was crazy because it was like, oh, shit, it's cool, right? It was awesome. I was still rooting for Peaches, though. I was like, come on, let's go with Peaches, bro. Do you know how iconic it would be, like, hey, Peaches won an Oscar, like, get the hell out of here. Like, bro, that song, it will just validate the song, right? Yeah, I think, so those were some of at least when it comes to, you know, like at best animation, obviously we're huge Godzilla fans. And like, if you had to know, like, for the Oscars, like Oppenheimer just swept the whole house. So, again, very deserved. Movie was amazing. Great cast, great director, great story, you know, great music, everything. So, I would say it was very well deserved. Now moving on. So I know we kind of skipped this a little bit, but I know the State Alchemist wanted to kind of give everybody a little bit of what's coming up. So he wanted to discuss a little bit of the new anime that's coming out in April.
Absolutely. I don't know about anybody else, but the April, I guess it would be, April lineup.
Do you need to show your screen or?
I mean, I can, but I'm not going to.
Oh, okay, cool. I was just wondering.
Damn, okay.
So I was wondering because I was like, all right, I got to go reach the keyboard. It's a foot away from where I am. So I was like, all right, that way I know to like either slide closer. Or...
Absolutely not. Look, the spring is phenomenal. I am very excited about what's going to come in spring. So let's get into it. And the spring lineup starts April 1st. And as of April 1st, there are going to be 6 animes released start just April 1st. Damn. Starting with Bison Wolf, Merchant meets the Wise Wolf. You have God's Game Replay. You have Green Monster. You have I was reincarnated as the Seventh Prince. So I can take my time perfecting my magical ability. And yes, that is the full title.
Hey, of course it is.
End of the world. And then you have the banished former hero lives as he pleases.
You missed one, Ernest.
Which one?
From April 1st?
Yeah. It's called That Time I Got Reincarnated Into My Girlfriend's Glasses.
I love that.
I feel like sooner or later we're going to have to actually work on that because it's getting momentum, I got to say. It went from a joke to a full on, like, you know what?
We're this copyright claiming this. We're copyright claiming this. You can't steal our ideas. if you want to animate it, you got to come. And email us.
GeekStudios@gmail.com.
Yep. And all three of us want our money.
Absolutely. I want residuals.
Royalties.
Every episode that is played, I need that. I need that.
We might even do some of the voice action. Or voice
exactly.
Action.
Yeah. Voice acting a bit.
Let me get in here. To make sure I get more than a few pennies. Exactly. However,
right.
But yeah, that was April 1st. April 3rd, we were releasing Bartender, Blast of Gods, which is supposed to be a really phenomenal anime. Then we're going into April 4th, Windbreakers, Laid Back Camp Season 3, which I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's kind of like a slice of life, but it was pretty decent.
Okay.
And Archdemon's Dilemma. How to love your elf bride. Okay. Then you jump into April 5th, Astral Note. We're at Ninjoyo Animation, probably wish that Animation 2, by the way. And then we have another, The Irregular at the Magic School High School, Season 3. Another hitter. The intimate. What the fuck? The Idiom Master Shiny Colors.
Oh,
this one I'm gonna have to look at. That's it. That's interesting. Idol Master. The Idol Master Shiny Colors.
It sounds like it's gonna be one of those kind of like J-pop.
Yeah.
Just from the Idol Master, I think of the idols.
It might be something like that.
Then we have another popular one coming up. April 7th, we're starting with a few popular ones, which is Mushoku Tensei.
Oh, yeah.
We have, and actually, I didn't even know that this was getting animated. I've been reading this comic, and it was, anime. I've been reading this. It's really more of a webtoon. On the side, like, it bothers me that it takes a while for them to put out. They put them out in lumps. It's not in Shonen Jump. It's not in anywhere. I read it on the off website. But it is, as a reincarnated aristocrat, I will use my appraisal skill to rise in the world. It's a really interesting isekai, essentially, where he was reincarnated as an aristocrat, and his power is to be appraisal. He has the power of appraisal, and what he does, he can appraise people's abilities, and he can see the potential in people. And as he grows his skill, he gets more detail about individuals, and he uses that to rise in the world. Right now in the manga, we are in a war arc where his first war that he's been to, and he's having to do all of these things, but he's making all of this because he has gathered a group around him. He has a great tactician. Of course, he got a master at arms. He got a powerful wizard, like people who were diamonds in the rough, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't give this person a second look, but he brought them on. He got his crew. He went sailing, and he finna become pirate king.
Okay, all right.
That's essentially what this is, in settings of olden times as an aristocrat, right? Continuing on, April 7th release is also Vampire Dormitory. We have Grandpa and Grandma turn young again. And then we have the Duke of the Death and his Maid, season 3.
Okay.
And then, might as well keep going, right? April 8th, there is supposed to be releasing Chilling in Another World with level 2 super cheat powers. That is really the name of this. Chilling in Another World with level 2 super cheat powers.
Chilling?
Chilling. Yeah. It's literally chilling with the G dropped off. Like the
I gotta watch that one.
Okay.
I gotta see that.
Tarayami Okuri. I'm not sure about that one. I've never even heard of that. But then after that, April 9th, we have Oblivion Battery. Then next will be April 10th. We have 3 dropping here, which is The Many Sides of Voice Actor Radio. We got Konosuba Season 3.
Konosuba, yeah.
Yeah, we got Viral Hit. And then April 12th, we got The Misfit of the Demon Academy. Core 2.
Yo, that one is pretty good. It's pretty good though.
It's one of those animes that I've watched and it was like, what the fuck did I just watch? After sitting, I just binging this entire thing. What the fuck did I just watch? Like, what? It's one of those stupid comedies like Buddy Dads.
Yeah.
I full agree with that. All right. And then next on April 12th, it's be Shadowverse Flame Arcan. And then another April 13th, 2 more greatly anticipated animes are dropping. One, I feel proud about saying this, and I know I was the first person to bring it up on this particular podcast, which is Kaiju number 8.
Kaiju number 8, yeah.
Finally getting our first episodes, April 13th. And then Black Butler Public School Arc is getting animated.
Okay.
And then we have 2 additional anime that are to be announced that could possibly show up, possibly not. And because they are TBA, I would not confirm them. until they are confirmed with the drop date.
Oh, all right.
But April's lineup is going to be phenomenal. I'm both excited and sad to see, because April means that there are going to be a lot of enemies right now that we're watching are ending, like Free Run. And it's coming to its end of its first season. There's a couple others I'm watching that I don't want to name because I will use them in later episodes for recommendations. But yeah, it's sad to see a new season of anime starting, but it's also great to be like, yes, we're getting some really great stuff out here. And just on a side note, and just because I've never even heard of this, but there is a movie on Crunchyroll called 009-1, The End of the Beginning. And that's all I'm going to say. Look it up. Enjoy it. If you watch it, you know, leave a comment, leave a like, talk to me.
I might have to watch it and leave a comment myself because I have not seen it.
I haven't. It was a random find. It's very interesting. Think of, there was some anime about cyborgs. I can't really think of the name right now.
I feel like there's a lot of them.
Yeah, you gotta be more specific.
So there were numbered cyborgs, like one was a baby, seven was the best.
Cyborgs 07, I think.
Oh.
I want to say that's what it's called, because they even had a cross season with Crybaby, Devil Man Crybaby.
Oh yeah.
So I want to say it's Cyborg. Hold on, let me Google it, because now I want to say Cyborg. Cyborg 09.
Was that it?
So you were just looking for the numbers.
Cyborg 09.
They
wear red suits. So obviously, that's the older one, right? But, like, you know, they wear, like, red suits. So, yeah, there's Cyborg 09.
Okay. Well, this is definitely, I feel like it might be a part of that storyline then. I'm only halfway through it. It's very interesting, but it's definitely... And then it puts you in the mind of Million Dollar Man, where we have the technology, we have the money, we can rebuild him. And it's kingdom versus kingdom, or territory versus territory. There's a war, I need you to spy. And now this product of war is beginning to have their own opinions and their own life. And it's like, I remember what you did to me. I'm gonna fuck y'all up.
Okay. Yeah, it was what's it called? Cyborg 09 versus Devil Man. That's the one I thought about. That was a more recent one that they did. It was a collaboration.
Gotcha. Well, I just sent you the where is it? Bam.
Ah, okay. Got it. Yep. 09, see? So it's Cyborg 09. Literally.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, 009-1.
Oh, shit. All right. So to wrap it up, I wanted to discuss a little bit about some of the reboots that are going to come out. Obviously, there's The Crow. The trailer just dropped. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for The Crow. If not, we could always watch it and, you know.
Let's play it.
All right. Let me see. I was already playing it and I forgot to even share my screen. It's like sharing on my side, but not fully. So let me make it bigger. There you go.
What's the first thing you liked about me?
I thought that you were quite brilliant and broken.
You feel like my person?
You feel like my person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I saw things. I shouldn't have seen any of it.
Julie! Julie! Please don't do this!
When someone dies,
a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead.
But sometimes something so bad happens that the soul cannot rest. Until you put the wrong things right. You were given the power of a god. But you're running out of time to save her. I'm gonna kill them. Every single one of them. I killed you.
Yeah, you did.
We have a problem. He came for us.
First impulse. Anger.
It's not anger. It's love.
Look what you've become. You know that love promises only pain. You have no idea what hell awaits you. No, I do.
How many people have you loved? I'll never be alone.
First reactions, what do you guys think?
My first reaction and my first thought was I would love to see them treat his powers like they do in what is the Netflix show? I think it was The Academy. With the
Umbrella Academy?
Umbrella Academy. Like,
okay.
If they treat his powers like, hey, okay, so we see that every time you die, it takes you 5 minutes to come back. Can we get that to 30 seconds? Like, can we get it coming back faster? Because in a fight, like, if you can, like, yes, killing yourself can be a tool that you use to come. Like, that was literally my first. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to show him mastering his ability to come back faster and faster and faster. And how are they going to be able to utilize that in more fights? Because at the beginning, it's like, okay, how long did it take him to come back? Like, then when he got shot in the chest, my first instinct was like, okay, is he going to live with those? Like, we know he's going to come back, but are those scars going to always be there? Or is he going to come back and then everything's going to be healed? Like, do you still have scars from every damage that is done to you? And then two is how can you utilize that to come back? But like, what do you do? How can you show that he's coming back faster, more efficient? Like, he's getting better at it. He's remembering more. Like, what can you do with these abilities? That was my first thought. It's like, I like it. And it's from what I can remember of the original Crow. It's the same, but it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different, and I like how it's different. I like their modernization take on this. I am excited to see where this goes. I will be highly upset because right now, just with the trailer, my bar is here. I know. Yeah.
Mine's up here too because I was
up here. I am excited to see how they're going to tell this story and what the potential. The potential is here, but my bar is here, and I'm excited to see where they're going to go.
Okay.
Like Ernest said, I really want to see their like his ability like grow and his growth. Like I want to see that happen, and I want to see from the beginning of how, like maybe he just like for example like 5 minutes and then he goes to like maybe like a few seconds, like Ernest said, and my expectations are really high. And if they crash them, then every time they see. The time I got reincarnated into my girlfriend's glasses, they have to pay $5 because it's going to be so good. You're going to have to keep watching it. And so they're going to have to pay $5 every single time.
All right. So I'll say this, like, I really, really enjoyed the classical one, the older one. I was kind of hoping at first I was a little bummed out cause he didn't have the white makeup. Mm-hmm. And you know, like the black makeup over his face and the long hair and like the long trench coat. Cause I was like, all right, that was iconic for the look, mm-hmm. right? I do like it. I gotta say the song that they picked was very well picked. That goes with
right?
the video. I was like,
that's what excited me. Okay. Like mm-hmm. going down the list versus I feel like the score for this movie better be epic. You have too many celebrities or songs in this genre that you can pick from that'll be perfect in these moments. I feel like there's a lot you can do with this. And
there is a lot. Absolutely.
I know damn well that better be at least two Paramore songs.
Oh yeah, 100%. As a Paramore fan, you have to. There's like, no way you can't.
But I think so. Obviously, Bill's a very, very talented actor. He's always a kind of he's always the actor that could embody the character that he plays. Like honestly, once he did it, I was like, this man could do almost anything. Like he just killed it. So I was like, I'm excited. At first, when I heard like, oh, they're doing a reboot, I was like, oh crap, here we go again. But they're like, oh. Bill's gonna be the main actor. I was like, okay, I have a little bit of faith. Cause I was like, all right, please don't tell me it's gonna be one of those like, oh, we got Jared Leto, like, something like that. You know, but so that was one of the trailers I wanted to talk about. The other one is so they did come out with an additional trailer or an additional clip from X-Men 97. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with X-Men 97, but it is almost a reboot or almost like a part two-ish of the classic X-Men cartoons from the 90s. So I will show that as well. And we could kind of see what do you guys think of it. This is a fight with the Sentinels, by the way. First of all, the song is back, right?
Yeah. That just brings so many memories.
Like, right, yeah. Right.
Greetings, enemy mine. Might I induce you to a change of heart? Lewis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful involuntary friendship.
I don't like Beast's voice. His voice acting.
You don't like Beast's voice?
Nah, no. That's my voice acting. His name.
All right, so that was the clip for the fight scene that they're going to have against the Sentinels. Because, again, they're dropping a few clips here and there, and one of the ones that they dropped was an actual small clip of, like, some of the fight scene. So that way we could kind of get a hint of what can we expect during the action scenes of this animated series. So, first of all, I don't know if you guys were already down with the show. I was. As soon as I heard about it, I was already automatically down with the show. There's a lot of things I really enjoyed about it. It has the song, it has a nostalgia, it has the animation style that, you know, we grew up with.
The same feeling.
It does. Obviously, we know it's not going to be exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be perfect. But at the same time, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, there's a few things you could kind of go into. For example, like there was a few character changes. Some voice acting was different, as Ernest brought up. I know a lot of people are upset about, for example, Rogue losing her Peaches. That was another what's it called, issue that people were kind of upset about. But overall, I like it. I enjoy it, and I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it. I was excited to see Bishop, actually. Like,
right? Bishop. Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Method Man.
I'm excited. I don't like. Again, I was, because that was first thoughts. I did not like Beast. I feel like Beast has always had this stoic kind of deep voice where it's like, it's this voice of trust and calm, and like, you know, Beast is one of the most intelligent people in the X-Men universe. He rivals in the Marvel universe. Like, he's up there with some of the top brains of the world in the Marvel universe. And I feel like the voice just did not match his personality, his character. It needs to be when he speaks, he commands attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he had this lackadaisical, I'm just playing around type of, what was the new age Teen Titans bullshit?
Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
He had Teen Titans Go voice. And he didn't have the Teen Titans voice.
Very well said. I understood it very well, even though I feel like it was the same voice actors from Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go. But the feeling was different, even if the voice acting was the same.
With
with the shows in general.
But
I agree to that point. Like, obviously, so my follow up is, does Pedro Pascal have that voice, that intellectual voice? Because he's gonna be playing Reed Richards.
That's so. I'm excited for him. As a fan of I am a fan of Pascal, but I do not play Reed Richards.
Okay.
I feel like John Krasinski.
John Krasinski, yeah.
He was cast perfectly in the role.
Yes.
Like, I feel like he could be Reed Richards.
Yeah.
He spoke. He had the manners. Like, his short view or tenure as Reed Richards, I'm like, we need that. I don't know why he turned down the role. Well, I ain't going to say he turned it down. I don't know why he doesn't have the role. And I don't know if they're going to play with, okay, well, this isn't the 616 verse. So, because they already showed him in a different verse, they don't want to bring him into the 616 verse.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I would hate for them to say that. But, like, I feel like he has established himself as a wonderful Reed Richards to beat out all previous Reed Richards. And I still can't wait for them to bring Dr. Doom into the MCU. Victor Von Doom, like,
that is so. I feel like if Marvel was smart, that would be the next Bane big villain. Pull a Thanos, because he could definitely pull a Thanos of like, all right, this is gonna create a whole fucking like phase three, whatever we're at right now, right? Have the villain be Dr. Doom, because this man could be that villain just as big as Thanos. Like, just, he is
literally like he was the Brainiac. He was the Lex Luthor. But then again, I would say this. He was Lex Luthor when he and Brainiac was combined.
Okay.
In the Marvel MCU. That his intelligence rivaled that of everybody. He Batman, Lex Luthor, and I'm also going to these you with this comparison, but then to go back to the MCU, I mean, he rivaled the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like he himself was, he was a highly intelligent person. He was capable. He created his own country.
Yeah.
Like, he was more, I would say he probably was the most successful villain outside of Thanos in the MCU.
Okay. And I would argue even more successful than him, especially when he had the Cosmic Force. The Cosmic thing where he just like ripped out Thanos' spine.
Mm-hmm.
That was sick, bro.
That's what comparison. Who would you pick? Batman with prep time or Dr. Doom with prep time?
I personally would take Dr. Doom, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right. But at the same time, and it's like, all right, I know at least Batman would protect me. Dr. Doom would be like, I don't give a fuck about protecting. You could die, but I'm still going to win. And so it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I agree. Victor Von Doom is a brilliant strategist, an intelligent person, and he can rival anybody. He, especially in the fact that he wouldn't get power. He did, as a person, no, he does not have power. He did not have superpowers. So what did he do? What did he do? He went. He created, like, he fucked with it. Like, he got the, he had the cosmic power. He's also had the gauntlet.
The gauntlet.
He's had a lot of powerful artifacts to do. He's captured everything. He has a lot of great feats.
Yeah.
To prove his worth.
Bro, yes, I agree 100%. That's what I'm saying. Put the next phase around Victor Von Doom and it'll be amazing. Because you'll know that, all right, the Fantastic Four are gonna be leading the way, leading the charge. So that opens the way for them. So I just personally think that would be the route. Well, I want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in to listen to us discuss a little bit about some of our feedback of some of the remakes or reboots that are happening, as well as some of the Oscar highlights. The new anime is coming. That's coming out in April. And along with what was the first thing we discussed? The Oscars. So... and obviously listening to our recommendations, and once again, definitely go check those out. We'll be giving you guys new, fresh, and new recommendations every week.
Let us know if you have any. You can email us, or you can DM us on Instagram at Geek Studios.
Oh,
you can even leave comments on YouTube or anything too, if you want us. If you want us to listen to any of your recommendations. Follow us, send us an email and DM or comment and share this to your friends.
There you go. Follow us on all social media. You could go to geekstudios.com. Every single part of our social media is up there. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, everything is up there. So yeah.
And also so is our email, so that way if someone's listening, we can get that anime started.
We got the writer, we got some, you know.
We got Ernest as a voice actor.
Absolutely.
I still have it.
There we go. We already have the cover. You just...
Oh, and I don't know if I think I shared it that one time. I had come up with backstories for every single character.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I was like,
it's already like basically pre-written. You know, we just gotta make the script.
We got to put some polish on it. We got to create some art to go with it. Really detail the characters, detail the story. And we, you know, world building. We can world build.
Oh,
and
absolutely. Oh, yeah. World build.
So email us at geekstudios.com. Gmail to geekstudios.com so we can get that anime started. You know, we all get paid.
Near you.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and tune in on next week's episode.
Bye.
Until later.
Peace, love, happiness.